it. And the first ministry of Jesus I talked about last Sunday, and that was that Jesus took His own blood into the Holy of Holies in the third heaven, and He presented that blood on the mercy seat, and that dealt with the Supreme Court of Heaven, whose judge is God the Father, and that appeased the wrath of God as far as man is concerned. That was the very first thing that Jesus did after He died, was buried, and rose again on the third day. So He did ascend into heaven. He was the first one to ascend into heaven, because I talked about the fact that no one before that ascended into heaven. No man ascended into heaven until Jesus Christ Himself went into heaven with His own blood to put on the mercy seat in heaven. And so that was the very first ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, I want to talk about something you're all familiar with, but I was talking to my brother-in-law down in Missouri a couple days ago, and we were talking about the fact there are so many people in churches, not talking about this one, but so many people in churches that know about Jesus but do not know Him. And to me, that's an extremely sad thing. And I want to make sure the rest of my life that the people that I speak to know the Lord and know Him personally, because it's a personal relationship that counts. And sometimes people tell me that, well, they know the Lord, but they don't know when they accepted Christ. Or they'll tell me, I've been to church all my life and I know I'm okay. Or they'll tell me, I not only was in church all my life, but I served the Lord and in the church, and I did all these good things, and so I'm sure that I'm going to be all right when I die. And there's people that die with that kind of a statement on their life, and in my opinion, according to the Word of God, they are not saved. And so you have to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible calls it a born-again experience. In other words, we're born first physically into this life, and then we're born spiritually when we receive Christ as our Savior. If you are not born spiritually, you will not go to heaven. You'll go to the opposite place, which is eternal hell fire, and I would not want anyone to go there. Absolutely not. And so, whenever I'm around my family, if I go to Missouri, and I was this time, I pray for anything and everything that needs to be prayed for, because I want them to know for sure. It'd be an impossibility, now listen to me carefully, it'd be an impossibility for a baby to be born out of the womb and not know that something took place. Do I hear an amen? Now, they may not understand it all because they're a little baby. But I'll tell you this, the mother knows. And I'll tell you this, the baby would know. Because there's a lot of difference between being in the womb and being outside the womb. And so there's a lot of difference between being lost and not a Christian and being a Christian, legitimate Christian, which we know you cannot become a Christian by joining a church, or by being baptized, or any of those things. It states that very clearly in the Scriptures. So I talk to people a lot, and they say, oh, I was baptized as a baby. I say, that's wonderful. Now receive Christ. Are you listening to me? A baby in the womb's in water, but that baby's not born. And that baby has to be born out of the womb. There has to be an experience that takes place, a dramatic experience for the mother and the child. And there was a dramatic experience for Jesus Christ and the children of God. It's just that really, that is a fact. And if somebody tells me that they do not know when they accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, I don't mean the date. I mean the time, or not even the time, but the place. If they can't tell me the place, they can't tell me the experience of receiving Christ and their life changing, then I would say, let's pray to receive Christ. Because, excuse me, that's the issue. If you have Christ, you are a Christian. If you do not have Christ, you're not a Christian. And so that's a very important. And then I've always had people tell me, well, I'm Catholic, I'm Baptist, I'm Presbyterian, I'm Pentecostal. I'd say, that's wonderful. Do you know Jesus? You can be all that stuff and not know Jesus Christ. And so the important thing is there been a time in your life that you know where you accepted Christ as your personal Savior and there was a difference in your life? That's the issue. Now, the reason Jesus Christ came, number one, was to satisfy the wrath of the Father in heaven with His own blood. And number two, His ministry was to come to seek and to save those that are lost. God didn't come to this earth just to preach and go back to heaven. He came to seek and to save those that are lost, those that are not in the family of God, those that have been born on this planet and never accepted Christ. He came to save and to seek those people. No one is ever saved unless God, the Son, draws them and the Holy Spirit draws them to the Lord Jesus Christ. No one can go to heaven without Christ because Christ is the mediator between God and man. Somebody has to be available who can take the hand of God and take your hand and put them together. Because man cannot touch God without the mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, are people saved that believe in other religions that do not believe in Christ? The answer is no. You say, well, that's pretty narrow. And the answer is yes, it is. Jesus said it's the narrow gate by which people enter into the presence of God. Wide is the way that leads to destruction. So you say, well, I know all this stuff, but are you teaching that information to those in your family, your friends, your neighbors who do not know Jesus? Are you giving them that information? Look in Luke 19 and verse 10.
Pastor?
Yes.
All my life I went to Lutheran church. I got married the first time I went to the Baptist church. Took instructions to go to Catholic. Didn't find Christ when I got here.
I love it. I don't know if you heard that or not, but speak real loud. I want her to say this again. Now, this is where most people are. Okay.
I was raised and went to a Lutheran church pretty near all my life. I got married, went to a Baptist church, took instruction to turn Catholic, and didn't find Christ until I got here.
There you are. You see, you probably thought you were pretty good there up to that point, didn't you? Thought you were going to heaven. Now you see, that is the deception of the enemy. And so I don't want anybody. Now the other side of the coin is, some people say, well, I'm not worthy because of all the stuff I've done. That's why Jesus Christ came and shed His blood. Because His blood and what He did on the cross makes us worthy if we receive Him. You see, that's the issue. He makes us worthy. We're not worthy, none of us. But He makes us worthy by what He has done. Because He was without sin, became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. That's for anybody and everybody. I don't care what they've done in their life, how horrible it might have been, or whatever. That's for everybody. Anybody can be saved, but nobody is saved without Christ. That's the issue. Now, Luke 10, or excuse me, 19. I didn't even find it myself here, just a minute. Luke 19, and verse 10. For the Son of Man, that's Jesus Christ, I'm telling you what the Scriptures say, not me, what the Scriptures say. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was what? That's, there it is. That's the second reason that Jesus Christ came, to seek and to save that which was lost. He's talking about man. He's not talking about animals. He's not talking about the planet. He's not talking about the environment. He's not talking about anything else other than human beings, which God put on this earth in the first place. And so he came. The man fell when Adam and Eve sinned, and so Jesus came, the Son of God, to bring man back to what God created man to be in the first place before Adam fell. That's the issue. Now, a lot of us have done bad things, some worse than others, and all that kind of stuff, but that makes no difference. The issue is we're all sinners and come short of the glory of God, and when we accept Jesus Christ, he gives us his righteousness, and that's the way to heaven. His righteousness, that nobody goes to heaven without the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't take your righteousness, it takes his righteousness to go into the presence of God. That's what we need to understand. That's why man can't be good enough, man can't be righteous enough, right standing enough, any of that kind of thing. I don't care who it is, nobody's going to heaven without the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. No.
Why?
Because we're falling beings. It's impossibility. If you have Christ in you, I understand. Rari's wonderful, and King James is even wonderful. But the point is, no one. There will never be anybody on this earth perfect other than Christ. Yeah. The only way, you have to have the righteousness of Jesus, not ours. That's the point I'm making. It's the righteousness of Jesus Christ that gets us into heaven. That's why Jesus had to come. Had not he come, we would be in big trouble. Let's put it that way. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, some more than others.
Yes.
Now, there are some so-called Christian churches that believe it's possible for man, I'll just tell you the truth, some believe that it's possible for a man or a woman to be perfect before God if they do this, 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 and this, and this, and this. But the Bible teaches there's none perfect, no, not one. And there's only one name in heaven whereby man must be saved. What, Grace?
All have sinned
and come short of the glory of God. There you are. No. But we should be striving for that in this life. Now, that's not an excuse just to sin. But the issue is we should be striving for that, but nobody will ever make that. But we will be perfect in heaven, yes.
Sin hurts us.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He's already paid the price. We're
yes.
Go
correct.
But every sin hurts us. It hurts our body.
Yes.
It hurts our emotions. It hurts our family. It hurts somebody. And Christ doesn't want you to be hurt or somebody else to be hurt.
And that's true even after we save.
And sin.
Sin always brings destruction. It never does anything good. Ever. So anyway, back to the subject. Jesus Christ came to save that which was lost. That's important to understand. And so, yes, there's a part of us, after we become a Christian, that is righteous, and that's our spirit, because God puts His righteousness in us at salvation when we accept Christ. So there is a part of you that is always righteous before God after you receive Jesus. If that was not true, you would not go to heaven. So you see, only the righteousness of Christ is the way to heaven, not ours. That's why Christ came. That's why we need Jesus. That's why we preach Christ and the whole thing. That's why people are called Christians that know Jesus. To be Christians are those that know Christ. So there you are. Let's look at another scripture. 1 Timothy 1:15. Now this is part of the message of the Bible. It's not the whole thing, but this is the important part. The most important part. And we want to go to 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. All right. So I'm going to show you scriptures we go along. And so here, okay, verse 15. And that says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." That was the Apostle Paul saying that Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners, and by saving them, it means restore them back to what God created them for in the first place. That's what that means. Okay? Save us back into what God's intentions were when He created man on this earth, but you're not totally righteous until you're in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what God came for, what Jesus came for, was to put us in a relationship with God the Father, a relationship with Himself. That means He wanted to put us in a family relationship. We have to be born into it, and you're born into the family of God by receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And anybody can do that at any time. There's no, as long as you're still breathing. All right? Now, I've heard all kinds of things from people over a period of time. And somebody always says, well, they say things like this. "Well, I've been in church all my life." That's a big one. Or they might say, but the fact is that they may have been in church all their life, but they never talk about Jesus. They never talk about the Lord. They never talk about God. They don't know when they were saved. They don't study the Bible. They don't read the Bible. And they may be living in sin of some kind. And the issue is, what about people like that? They are not saved. Are you listening to me? What my own experience has been, and the experience of most people I've been around, once I got saved, I started going to church. I had an interest in God, which I didn't have before. Once I received Jesus, I didn't care about reading the Bible before. The Bible became an interesting book to me, and I got into the Word of God. I was drawn to the Word. I was drawn to the preaching of the Word. I wanted to find out about this Christian life. I wanted to know about Jesus. I wanted to start living a better life. I wanted to stop doing some of the things I were doing, because I was born into a different family, and I wanted to start to be like that family, the family of God. And so I had a lot to learn. I'm still learning and will learn. Even after I'm with Jesus, I'll be learning the things of God. We'll never, throughout eternity, we'll be learning the things of God. And I've told this thing 100 times, but I'm going to keep on telling it. My mother got saved at 65. She had been in church all of her life. And I asked her, what's changed? She said, I fell in love with the Word of God. She started going to Bible studies. She didn't care about them before. She had been in church all those years. And she was in the same church about 65 years, I believe. And she taught Sunday school for 40 and didn't even know the Lord. She was trusting in her church going and serving in the church, which she did. But if she had died in that state, she would have gone to hell. It's just that simple. And so that's why I'm teaching this. If you're already a Christian, you need to get stirred up about people you know that are not Christians. They're not all going to listen, but you do it in love. You share Christ in love. You don't beat them over the head with it. We're studying this on Wednesday night, how to tell people about Jesus. And I'm giving out materials and things like that. Now, I want you to go to Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. We depend on one book, and that's called the Bible. It doesn't mean that there aren't good books written about the Bible, but the issue is we need to learn what the Bible says. There's always somebody who says, well, I had a guy tell me this one time. He says, there's a lot of roads to Chicago. And I said, oh man, that's enlightening. Thank you for that information. What he was implying to me is, well, there's a lot of ways to heaven, and if you pick one of the ways, you're okay. I presume he's talking about denominations. I don't know what he's talking about. So I started telling him about Jesus, and this is what he told me. There's a lot of roads to Chicago. Okay. Well, let's look in Acts 4 and verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. This is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. There is only one road to heaven, and that road is called the Lord Jesus Christ. Do I hear an amen? Amen. Now, I didn't make that up. It's in the Word of God. I'm just here to tell you that, and somebody starts this stuff about there's many roads to Chicago, I'd say, yeah, but they all go through Jesus. You understand? There's a toll booth that everybody's got to go through, and that's the way it is. So the issue is whether you need to know there's a whole lot of difference between being religious and being a Christian. Being religious usually means you're trying to get to heaven by your own works. Now listen to me. I didn't say anything about what you did in the past. I said you needed Jesus today. Are you listening to me? It doesn't mean what you did in the past didn't have an effect on you. But the issue is, that is not the issue. The issue is when you stand before God at the end, the issue is going to be, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? That's the issue. Doesn't make any difference how much money you gave to the church, all those things are good, how many times you attended, any of that other stuff. The issue is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? And that's it. The judge of the whole thing is God the Father. It makes that clear in the Bible. God the Father is the judge. The Lord Jesus Christ is the advocate or the mediator or the umpire or whatever name you want to use between God and man. He is the bridge. He is the ladder. He is the way. There is no other way but through Him. And that is very clear in the Scriptures. He's called a mediator, an advocate, a lawyer, a go-between, whatever you want to use. That's what He is. He is the only one. For the entire world, throughout history, He is the one. Only God's family is going to be in heaven. Nobody else. Are you listening? There's not going to be any else there. That doesn't make us better than anybody else. That ought to make us be concerned about everybody. You see. That's the thing. And You cannot go to the Father, God the Father, directly. Some people pray to God the Father, leave out the name of Jesus, and I'm here to tell you their prayers don't go any higher than the ceiling, because it's through Christ we go to the Father. Look at several scriptures. Hebrews 8:6. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 6. And I don't care what anybody tells you. I don't care what the evening news tells you or any other book tells you. This is the book. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 6. But now has he ordained a more excellent ministry. By now much also he is the mediator, there's the word, of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ. So, and so forth. Okay, now, let's look at 1 Timothy 2:5. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. You need to mark these scriptures as we go through them. Okay. Here you have it again. Just says it time after time. If it just said it one time, that'd be one thing. But here it is. 1 Timothy 2:5. For there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. There it is. Who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, and so on. So, Jesus Christ is the only mediator between God and man. There is no other. So he's the one you have to go to. He's the one that we use his name. That's how we get into heaven. The only hope is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you go to another scripture most people know. Go to John 14 and verse 6. Jesus himself said that he was the way. Go to John 14 and verse 6. Because you will find the words of the Lord. And here's what he said. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. I think that's fairly clear. But like I say, if that was the only scripture, you say, well, you know, only in there one time. But it's time after time in the scripture. Well, let's go on in verse 7, which is interesting. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also, and from henceforth you know him and have seen him. So in other words, Jesus said, if you know me, you've known the Father. They are one. They are this tight. So if you know him, you know the Father. It'd be like wanting to go in and see the president, and you haven't got any way to get there, so you go to one of his daughters. Say, I'd like to see the president. She said, no problem. And you go right into the White House. You go right into the Oval Office, and there he is. How'd you get in there? By the daughter in that case. But in this case, we get in the throne room of God by the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we acknowledge him. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man approaches God the Father but through me. Look in 2 Peter 3:9. 2 Peter 3:9. You need to know where this information is in the scriptures. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Now, somebody says, well, you know, that's kind of narrow. Well, it is. Here the Lord says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that says very simply that God doesn't want anybody to perish. God doesn't want anybody to go to eternal hell. God wants everybody to be saved. Are they all going to be saved? No. I've had people offended. They said, do you mean to tell me that I have to receive Christ after going to this church all these years? And the answer is yes. And they get offended. Well, Jesus was offended a few folks. And we don't deliberately offend people. We love people. We still love them if they're offended. But the issue is, there's only one way. We need to get the word out. Do I hear an amen? Amen. You're not going to hear it on the evening news. You got to go somewhere to get this information. And so there's a famous thing called the Roman Road. And if you're a Wednesday night person, be sure you get this, because in the Bible, it tells you exactly how to be born again. It tells you exactly how to be saved. It's very simple. Sometimes it's called the Roman Road, but we'll go over it. Look in Romans 3:23. And I'm going to tell you what you can use to lead people to the Lord. You see, the Holy Spirit saves people. We don't. And so you don't have to worry about anything. Just use the Word of God. Romans 3 and verse 23, and this tells it like it is. It says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In other words, we can't reach God because of our sin. What's sin? Anything we do out of harmony with God that's destructive. That's what sin is. Anything we do out of harmony with God that's destructive is sin. Out of harmony with God. And so it says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's from the president on down the line to whoever. All have sinned. He has sinned. Everybody's sinned. The only one that didn't sin was the Lord Jesus Christ. Now go to Romans 6:23. This is called the Roman Road to salvation. So you need to memorize these good. This says, because we have all sinned, the wages of sin is death. That's eternal death. Death without Christ, without heaven. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There it is. It is a free gift. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. You can't go to church enough. You can't do any of those things. All you can do is receive it. So the worst sinner, who Apostle Paul said he was the worst, can receive Christ right up to a real so-called good person. There's a lot of so-called good people in this life. Most people, in most cases, think their mother was a pretty good person and probably deserves to go to heaven. But your mother has sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm sorry to give that information, but that's the way it is. And so everybody is in the same boat. We die because of sin. You say, I don't believe that. Well, look in the obituaries. Because that's why people die. There's no other reason that people die other than the fact they have sinned. So everybody's going to die one time or another. And so we have so much time. But in that time, you have to find. There is no such thing in the Bible anywhere that says you can be saved after you died. I don't care how many people's praying for you. There's some religions that pray for people after they've died. And they give so much money to the church. And that's supposed to get them out of wherever they're at. You can name a whole lot of places that people think they are. I'm here to tell you, not true. I stake my life on it. The Word of God says it. And that's good enough for me. Okay. Now go to Romans 10:9, and it tells you exactly how you can come to Christ. This is could be for somebody on death row in prison. It could be somebody that's taking food to some little old lady someplace. Doesn't make any difference. I'm not making fun of anybody. I'm just saying this is what the Word of God says. Now, well, go look at verse 8 because this is important. But what saith it? The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. This is the word of faith which we preach. For if you will confess with your mouth, that's another one I've heard. People say, well, I'm a Christian, but I've never told anybody. Okay. It says here, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, what that means to me is if you don't tell somebody, you're not saved. If thou will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. There it is. Now, I always have somebody say, now doesn't the Bible say you have to repent and believe? The word repentance means turn from. Turn from the old to the new. And I believe that's part of it. Somebody says, well, don't you have to confess all your sins to be saved? I didn't. But I did afterwards because I didn't understand that part of it. Nobody told me. And I did. After I was saved, I went to a seminar. They said, you need to write all your sins down on a list. That took a while. And then they said, you need to confess all these to God. And then, in this particular case, there was a fireplace there. They said, throw that list in the fire. And I'm here to tell you, that's the last time those sins will be mentioned ever by anybody, unless there's somebody who knows you did this or that and want to give you a hard time. But God will never mention them again. I said, God will never mention them again. You hear me? Paul had to do that, I'm sure, somewhere along the line. But the issue is, the main issue is, you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, and you tell somebody. Whenever I lead somebody to the Lord, I said, now who's the person closest to you? And it might be husband, wife, girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever. And I said, you tell them you received Jesus Christ. You call them up if you not going to be around them, call them up and tell them. The first thing I did after I got saved was when I got home, my wife wasn't with me at the time, I told her. And because I'm going to tell you, if you receive Christ and you don't want to tell somebody, there's something wrong someplace. You're still dead. Are you listening to me? There's a lot of people have said the words but didn't mean it in their heart, and never told anybody they were saved, and they're not. Somebody always said, well, when I was so-and-so, I prayed to receive Christ. I said, well, was there a change in your life? Did anything change? They said, no. I said, you didn't. Because I'm not saying it all happens at once. I'm not even saying it happens in a week. But I'm telling you this, over a period of time, there'll be a change in your life if you're saved. You can't be the same and have God in your inside of you. Are you listening to me? Because the Bible says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Holy Spirit comes to live in your spirit. And I'll show you where it says that in just a minute. But I want to finish this part. And we're back in Romans 10:9. You need to go over this and over this. And if you can't tell me, I don't mean the date. If you can't tell me when you were saved and who you told that you were saved, then I'd get saved. I'm serious as I can be. If thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. What this says is, you'll want to confess it to somebody after you're saved. If you haven't done that, you're not. And then it goes on. For the Scripture says, whosoever believes on Him shall not be ashamed. That's pretty clear. You see, there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord is over all, is rich unto all that call upon Him. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what it says. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's pretty clear. But you'll know that you've been saved. You'll know that you've been born. So I don't know. It just amazes me that people tell me some of the things they tell me. But the great deception of the devil is there's a lot of roads to Chicago. I mean, really, yeah, that's a fact. And you have to settle this issue in your life. I can't imagine. Somebody, particularly if they're older, and they say, well, you know, I say, are you going to heaven? Well, I think so. Well, if you think so, get saved. You need to know, absolutely know in your life, because it didn't depend on you, it depended on Jesus. Are you listening to me? It's not bragging to say you're saved, it's bragging on Him. It's not anything in us, it's in Him. And so you should know that you're a Christian. Look at 1 John. I want to show you this. I'm not making this stuff up. 1 John 5 and verse 10. 1 John 5, verse 10. I show this to people usually when I lead them to the Lord because they need to know. You say, you mean I can know right now I'm going to heaven? The answer is yes. He that believes on the Son, verse 10. He that believes on the Son of God has the witness in himself. He that believes not God has made him a liar because he believed not the record that God gave him his Son. And this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life, and this life is in His Son. There it is. How long is eternal life? I say, how long is eternal life? Okay, if you had it, you'd know it, wouldn't you? Yeah, I think so. And somebody always look back, well, how can I go because all the bad stuff I did? It doesn't depend on you, it depends on Jesus. You see, you're dependent on yourself. I'm not dependent on myself to get to heaven. I'm in big trouble if I do. He that has the Son has life. Verse 12, that's eternal life. If you have the Son, you have life. It's got to make a difference in you. He that has not the Son of God has not life. These things I have written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may what? That you may what?
Know.
That you have eternal life. There it is right there. If you don't know it, get it. And that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. This is the confidence we have in Him. We ask anything according to His Word, He hears us, and so on. But that's the issue. Now, one other scripture I want to show you, and that's Colossians 1. Colossians 1 and verse 27. This is a verse that woke me up out of my sleep. Colossians 1:27. I was in a Bible study one time, and the guy read this scripture, and for the first time I saw it, and I said, my goodness, what is this? Colossians 1:27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Underline Christ in you in your Bible. There it is. I said to the teacher, I said, you mean that Jesus Christ is in me? And he said, yes. I said, how's that possible? And he said, because when you received Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit came into your spirit to live forever. And man, I said, for I tell you, I think that's the first time I ever said hallelujah, praise God. I mean, this is good. I love this. I mean, this is wonderful. And I got excited about Jesus. Are you listening to me? I mean, I got excited about Jesus. I mean, you need to settle this issue today. I can't tell you what's going to happen tomorrow. I can give you a general idea what's going to happen in the next few years, but I can't tell you what's going to happen tomorrow. But I can tell you this, if you have Christ, we don't have to worry about it. Hallelujah. If He comes tomorrow, we're ready to go. Not because we're so wonderful, but He is wonderful. Hallelujah. You see. It's all Jesus. Now, the interesting thing in the New Testament, nobody called Him Jesus. They called Him Lord. They called Him Master. They called Him Rabboni. They called Him all kinds of things. Never called Him Jesus. And I always love to call Him the Lord. I mean, He's the Lord. There's also a thing that, several things happen after you get saved. And one of them is, I think you come to the point where you totally surrender your life to Christ. You're already saved, but you come to a place where you said, okay, Lord, I'm giving you everything I got, everything I am. Whatever you can do with it, do with it while I'm still in this life. I surrender 100% to you. And you know, He's already surrendered to us. Are you listening to me? When did He do it? Cross of Calvary, there you go. He gave everything He had. Everything He had. And you come to the point where you love Him so much, I'm going to give you everything I have. Whatever you want me to do, whatever you want me to, where you want me to go, whatever to do, I'm ready to go. And when you're older, you know that's a little more limited. But then you can give your life to Him and say, okay, whatever, let's do it. You see? And that makes a difference in your life. I mean, if you come to church because you're guilty all the time, you ought to be coming to church because you love Jesus and wouldn't stay away, come whatever. Because that's an exciting place to be in Jesus' name, isn't it? When you know the Lord. That's absolutely correct. And so it isn't a matter you have to be, you want to be in church. If you have to drag yourself to church every Sunday, get saved. Yes.
Jim and I changed. Once we started coming to church, we got to know the Lord. We get up on Sunday mornings and we get to go to church.
Hallelujah. It's Sunday. Yeah, right.
And I just want to say is when you meet the Lord, I don't care what church you're at or what religion you go to, you find yourself a Bible-believing, Christ-centered church and don't stay where you are because I've got saved Catholic family members who will not give up their tradition. They go back into that debt and they're raising their kids in that debt and they are not going to go to heaven. You know your sister met the Lord. She stays in the dead church she's at and all of her kids are going to hell and she can't figure it out. Get out of the death churches. Find yourself somewhere where Christ is real.
Yes. And the issue there is we don't think we're the only ones going to heaven. Don't get us wrong. I think there's saved Catholics, there's saved Lutherans, there's saved whatever. But the issue is they have to know Jesus. I don't care. They don't get saved because they're Lutheran, Catholic, or anything else.
Of religion.
Yes.
And come
to a
church.
Yes. No, you don't.
You know, I could go back now and visit the Lutheran church and I think, well, that's nice.
Yeah, right, it's nice. Yeah, they do. Yes, right, exactly. So, the thing is, you know, You don't have to come to this one. You go. There's other Bible preaching churches. I'm not suggesting you go anyplace else, but you know, some people, they don't like this or the music or this or that or the preacher, or they don't like somebody. Well, go somewhere where you do like it, but be in church. Are you listening to me?
Your kids are watching, and they will follow.
Yes.
Maybe not today.
Yes.
Not tomorrow.
Yes.
Maybe not till after your
class. Yes.
But your children will follow because God will hear your prayers.
I take that scripture that the Philippian jailer was saved in his house, and I'm claiming in the name of Jesus that my house is saved.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. I'm going to claim it till my last breath. My house is saved.
Amen.
And if they're saved after I'm going to be with the Lord, fine, whatever. But my house is saved in Jesus' name. And so we do the best. We've got tracts out there on the table to give people. We got pens, have them listen to the radio station. Whatever, there's all kinds of ways to do this. But you need to know that you're saved, number one, and don't ever be embarrassed. I was in a meeting one time with a bunch of preachers. There was a preacher there who had been preaching for 20 years, and in that meeting stood up and said, I want to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. You don't ever want to be ashamed. I mean, the only thing you're going to be ashamed is you don't go to heaven. Are you listening to me? There's nothing. I wouldn't. If when somebody offers to come to Christ, I mean, you need to be running to that thing. You know what I'm saying? You may not know all the information. You may not understand it all. You say, how can this be? Or whatever. But for receive Christ and find out. You understand? That's it. Okay, let's stand before the Lord.